Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Bean.
And we welcome you guys to our episode, which is about what?
Starting your first fursuit.
Which has been, as you mentioned, requested multiple times through emails. So we've just decided to go ahead and just do it.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? What's the harm?
I've been working on fursuits nonstop for the past handful of days, so it's fresh in my brain all the time.
You're the better person to really talk about on this particular episode anyways, because you build it, you know it, you started from like, I've seen Bean's original fursuit.
It's so ugly.
It's not so great. But her stuff is way better now, so that's all that matters.
I mean,
so you've literally come from the ground up.
Well, I started making suits back before tutorials were a thing. So, like, mine were rough, buddy, because we didn't know what to do. There weren't tutorials when I started. The internet was just, you know, kicking. We just had LiveJournal.
Oh, that's right. I've come across LiveJournal and I'm like, I don't understand you. And then I just go away. I don't go back to it. I still don't really get it.
I used LiveJournal and I'll still occasionally go back to it for like my Pokemon collection group. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there's a handful of like fursuit making tutorial groups that have been alive for the infinity. But it's not as active anymore, but still a helpful resource because all the old tutorials are still there.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get on with it because fursuiting, well, fursuits making is a big topic to go on.
It's a lot.
Lots of
y'all keep asking for it. And I'm like, are you sure you want to do this?
Let's do it.
Okay. God. Well, the first step to like making anything with 3D artwork is a reference. So like, I'm not talking about just like a character reference sheet. Well, that's important. You also want to reference like real life things. You have to know the rules in order to break the rules. So like,
exactly.
If you want to make a fursuit of a dog, then you need to know what shapes that pertain to the dog that you're making. Like if you're gonna be making, I don't know, let's see, if you're gonna be making
a
husky versus a corgi, like a husky will have shorter ears that are more triangular shaped, while corgis will have longer ears that are more elongated, like rounded triangle shapes. So like, you don't want to make something and it just default to the same shapes. Like if you're going to make a cat, you don't want to have a dog nose, for example. So referencing not only your own character, but the animal or animals that they are mixed together, whether it's a fantasy animal or not, you're going to want to research what those things look like, what those shapes look like. And once you've done that, gathered a lot of reference materials of the animal that you're working with, then you can build a fursuit or character reference sheet from there, or commission someone to make one if you're not good at drawing or feel like somebody else would be better for that job.
Now, if you're not familiar with like just even like the most basic of, let's say, dog and cat, what would be the most simple thing to start off with for your first fursuit?
I would say a canine, because that seems to be what everybody starts off with. That's the easiest to go by. My only advice with canine suits specifically is pay attention to the ears. A lot of people will make their ears pretty large with their first suit. I don't know why. This just seems to be a trend. Ears tend to be large and eyes tend to be small. Pay attention to how big your ears are and to how small your eyes get, because if you're going to be making a wolf, you don't want massive ears. Their ears are pretty small if you look at photos of them. But if you're making like a fennec, then the ears are going to be larger, of course. And with eyes, that it doesn't really matter as much per species because it's usually stylized unless you're going for realism. But just make sure they're not too small, because the eyes really can make a break or suits aesthetic and its look. And the eyes are like the window to the soul. So if they're too small, then it'll just look odd overall. Make sure they're large enough.
I've seen so many varieties of eyes and how they're made. So interesting. I just want to say that, at least.
You can have a really solid, amazing looking fursuit, and as soon as the eyes look weird, then the whole suit looks terrible. It's so intimidating how important eyes can be. It's actually like my least favorite part of making a fursuit head because it's so intimidating. I always save it for last.
Well, it's kind of like it can make or break the look because you're going to be looking out at them, but people are going to be looking at you too, and you want to make them look good.
Yeah.
Not like wonky. Like, don't have your eyes pointing other directions. That's going to be weird.
Yeah.
Is it looking at me? I don't know.
You can, and with that, like, with references, you can also reference what other fursuits look like. Like, don't copy them, of course, because that's just a dick move. But if you're a little bit confused in how, you know, how eyes should be spaced or where the pupils should be or how big they should be or ear shapes or cheek shapes or anything like that, you can look at a handful of different fursuits and just study them for a bit. Study pictures of foam base heads, you know, watch time lapse videos, do stuff like that. Find your reference materials and study them for a while.
Now, let's say we got all the stuff.
Yes.
What about the next part?
Once you've studied all of your reference materials, you're going to want to research how to actually
apply.
Yeah, it's more studying. A lot of people, especially young people, will just jump right into it because they're excited. But I'm telling you, spend at least a couple of weeks just researching and drawing what you want and watching tutorials. Tutorials are your best friend. I wish I had tutorials when I started making fursuits 9 years ago. I wish. Because it was not a thing. I've been making fursuits since I was in middle school, and I am now going to be graduating college here in a year or so. So I've been doing it for a very long time, though my business, Mothsicle Suits, has only been established in 2014. But I've been making suits since before I made the business. And if I had tutorials when I was starting off, I feel like I could have improved at a much faster rate. There are so many websites. My favorite one to use for tutorials is YouTube because it's free and furries are all over it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. They're everywhere.
They're taking over.
They really are. They're just like they're a pest. They're like ants. We're everywhere.
God. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to name drop a few people from YouTube that you can look up. And we'll type them in the description of this episode as well. But there are a few that can come to my mind immediately. Some being Kloof Suits. They have a handful of videos of them making like a fursuit head and time lapse. And they talk over the video telling you what they're doing. Mugiwara Cosplay also has a lot of really good tutorials. And Matrices, which is one of the... I would say most seasoned, most experienced like fursuit tutorial maker out there, because she was one of the first people, I'm trying to think of grammar, she's one of the first people I knew that made tutorial videos back before tutorials were even really a thing. So she's been around a long time, has a lot of great tutorials. Some of them are on YouTube for free, but there's also Patreon and other paid packages. Patreon is really popular right now, especially with fursuit makers. Matrices also has a Patreon. There are a lot more people on Patreon as well. I just don't have any off the top of my head. Do you know any by chance, Space?
On Patreon?
Mm-hmm.
Not even off the top of my head. I mean, I can Google it real quick since we're recording.
Go for it.
I would assume that a lot of fursuiters at this point or fursuit makers would be a Patreon just because it does help with funding of other materials, just in case, like, let's say the market goes up or down and you hadn't bought materials yet. Maybe I don't know what they do with their money. Let me Google real quick while we're going here, and I'll give you an update.
Okay, while you're doing that, there's also paid packages, which is the only example I can think of. I literally only put this in our show notes because I wanted to plug Sparky can do, or Sparky Saber. She has a great tutorial series that you can pay for. Basically, you pay a fee and you get a code to make an account on her website where you can access a tutorial series that tells you how to make a fursuit from start to finish. And I'm almost done watching all the videos. I know all of them are released, so they're completed now. And you can pay that fee and get access to all these tutorials, and they are really detailed. I've been making fursuits for a long time, and I still learned some new things from that series. So I highly recommend that. It's a good investment. I think it's around $50. I paid for it when it was getting kickstarted, when it was a little cheaper. But I think now it's around $50 to get access to it. But I'd say it's worth it. You get a lot of information from that.
So, update. I literally just Googled fursuit makers Patreon, which you guys can all do as well. And a boatload came up. We got one that says May Fursuits, MEI, Splinter Fox. That sounds cool.
Oh, I know Splinter Fox. Yeah.
Sky High Studios. Never
heard
of them.
That's also a good one. They're Australian.
The Karelia Fursuits. I don't know who they are. CFS Studios, Mischief They're Makers. Good. I know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, hey, Kloof Suits. Look at that. Oh, and then the other one, too, the Mugiwara one.
Mugiwara cosplay, yep.
Let's look at Kloof Suits here. Let's see how they do their Patreon, because everyone's a little bit different.
And not all fursuit maker Patreons will include tutorials. Some of them will. Some of them you might just get, you know, early access to work in progress photos or early access to bidding on pre-mades and stuff like that. But I'd say most of them have tutorials in some form or another.
It's quite interesting. Kloof Suits doesn't have an actual Patreon, but they do follow other patrons like Stuff Panda Studios, Miss Monster. Who's this other one? Beetle Cat.
Mm-hmm. So those are all really big names.
I wonder if they just kind of like all support each other. As far as like a fursuit standpoint, I don't know how the tiers really break down into your favor, but explore it. You never know.
Yeah.
I don't
Another...
know. I might.
Yeah, give it a shot. You never know.
Yeah.
Another one that I talked about earlier is LiveJournal. Again, it's really old. But people do still use it. I Googled today lightweight fursuit horns, and the first link that came up was LiveJournal. So, like, for real, LiveJournal is old but helpful. You don't need an account to snoop around on it either. You need an account to comment and all that and to make posts. But if the post already exists and the question has already been answered, then you can just find it in the archives. And then just basic Google. Like, for real, Google is your best friend.
Google things. Bing. I mean, the two top ones, but you most likely are familiar with the term Google it. So just Google it.
Like, and I don't mean this in any like rude way, but anytime fursuit makers get spammed with questions like, how do you do this? How do you do that? It's like, literally, if you just Google your question, it will be answered. If a fursuit maker doesn't reply to you, don't take it to heart. It's just sometimes they're busy and your question can be answered if you research it on your own.
Easy
peasy. YouTube and Google, I would say, are the most helpful websites. But LiveJournal is definitely there. And as last minute, if you're willing to pay a little bit of money, then Patreon and paid packages are also available.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one, because this one I do have some things I want to point out.
Yes.
We'll go over that in a second.
We're going to be going over budgeting next. I know a lot of people who are asking about this specific topic are young people, minors. So I know it's hard to make a fursuit on a budget, but it can be done. It might take a little bit longer, but it can still be done. So you're basically going to have to figure out how much everything is going to cost, what you're going to prioritize, like time versus quality, for example. So you want to figure out how much money this project is going to cost you. So you'll be doing that by figuring out what kind of supplies you'll need. With budgeting specifically, if you can help it, the two areas where you do not want to cheap out are fur and thread and foam. If you're going to be using foam in any way, it's not that expensive. I always use like Joann's coupons, or eBay has some pretty, you know, cheap foam that's available. But foam, fur, and thread. Those are the three things you want to try to not cheap out on if you can help it. If you need to save money, the best place to avoid spending money is machinery, like a sewing machine, an airbrush machine, stuff like that. That's not things you necessarily need to start making suits.
And they're not going to make you hone in on your best traits and attributes anyways, which you'll learn when creating. You just need the basics first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get the basics down, then you move on. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Okay, fine.
Fine.
With budgeting specifically, I want to say this, is that don't be scared to get your supplies in an actual store. I recently got kind of irritated at a fursuit maker on TikTok who, it felt really arrogant, but they basically said, like, I don't get my supplies from fabric stores or from Walmart. I make fursuits professionally. I'm not going to do that. And it's like, but you can still find professional grade supplies in a store. You don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to get harder to access supplies in order for your costumes to be considered professionally made. For example, I buy my 1-inch foam from Walmart. A lot of people buy their 1-inch foam from Walmart. I also buy my polyfill, my thread, my adhesives, my knives, my needles, all that stuff, all from Walmart. You don't need to get everything online. It's expensive to get things shipped to you, and it tends to be overpriced online, especially like foam from what I've researched. But there are ways to get good supplies in store. Don't be scared to buy even fur. I've seen some decent fur at Joann's sometimes. It's usually overpriced, but it's still decent quality if you can't find fur online for some reason, or if you can't purchase things online.
Now, with fur itself, though, you have to be careful because you could go into Walmart, get the fur that day or Joann's, and then come back the next weekend and it's gone.
Yep.
And the chances of it coming back are very slim.
Yes, that's true. If you find fur locally and you run out during your project and you need more, most likely you're not going to find that fur again, unless it was a basic color like black or white. I will say I don't suggest buying fur from Walmart. I've never found good fur at Walmart. Joann's has had good fur, though. I've bought some fur recently from Joann's to just hold on to for pre-mades in the future.
There's also a website that I'm on called fabric.com.
Mm-hmm. Fabric.com is a good website.
Lots of options. And they have faux fur mostly. In fact, I typed in faux fur and this was the first thing that popped up. But this would be an interesting site to go to. Lots of choices.
Yeah, I'll talk about the different websites actually. Fabric.com that was my very first fur website. They used to have free shipping for orders over $30. I don't think they do that anymore because their fur is $30 a yard now. Like, they're one of the most expensive websites to buy from. I actually don't recommend that website if you can help it, just because they're more expensive for some reason for the same fabric. And they don't have their free shipping thing anymore, at least not to my knowledge. But fabric.com is a website. Fabric Empire is a good website.
I've heard of that one too.
Mm-hmm. Fursuitsupplies.com. The only thing about them is that they're out of stock of things a lot. But they also have a lot of unique colors, and that's why they are out of stock all the time, because people scoop it up so quickly. But if you can get what you need and it's in stock, that's a great website. Howl Fabrics is one of the best websites I've seen so far. They have a lot of variety. They have a lot of unique furs and different styles and lengths. Big Z Fabrics. I used to be like kind of scared of that website a couple years ago because it seemed really shady and the fur was like $18 a yard, which usually it's $25 a yard. So, it was just, it felt fishy. But the past year, Big Z has been communicating with the furry fandom directly on Twitter. And furries have been picking out like fur shades that they want, that Big Z has been offering to make. And their fur is actually really good quality, and it's the cheapest on the market right now. I think it averages to about $20 a yard, while other websites are at least $25 a yard. So Big Z Fabrics is a great website, and they have different kinds you can choose from, and they have swatches and all that stuff. Let's see. Mendel's is a great one. Their shipping is just very expensive. I don't know why. I think they just ship from an odd part of the... I don't think they're overseas. I think they're in the United States, but maybe they're like based in California or something, because anything shipped from there is always expensive.
Huh.
But they have a lot of great fur. All the fabric I've ever bought there has been high quality, whether it's fur or not. So they're amazing. And then if it comes down to it, Etsy and Google, like, if you need a really weird shade of fur and you can't find it, yeah, Amazon, you know, get a swatch first if you can, if you're shopping off of a website that's not as trusted, or like an Etsy shop that might not cater towards fursuit makers specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And Mohair Bear Making Supplies, they have great fur, but they ship overseas. So it can be kind of expensive, but that's my last resort website if I can't find a color that I need.
Now, with all of this said, this is where I kind of chime in. You may have budgeted for everything, but now you also, I just recommend this across the board, regardless of what you do. I highly recommend paying attention to the market. And I'm not talking about just like the store. We're talking about actual trade. Things that are going on around the world. Fur goes up and down in price. So does materials and art supplies. And right now, with the United States being in a trade war, your prices could go up or down at any given time. So you want to make sure that you're aware of that. I think that's important, especially where we are right now in the United States. If you're like in another country, I don't know how the trade really works there. But I've been paying attention to a lot of different, you know, like trade, like talks and all that stuff. And I just want to make sure you guys are all aware, a lot of stuff that you get from those sites more than likely is probably coming from China. So be aware of that. Just want to kind of throw that out there. If you get like fur one day and then boom, the next day it's like $100, then it's like, what the hell? And it's like, well, there you go. I warned you.
Yeah. And fur prices specifically have gone up a lot. Like when I started making suits, it was average $18 to $20 a yard. Now it's averaged at about $30 a yard. Like it's so rare for me to find it under $20 now. It's just non-existent.
The reason for that is it's called, what is it called? The cost of living. Okay. So things like that. You can't stop it. Things are going to become more expensive over time, and it's just going to be what it is. You'll get paid a little bit more over time because you have to match whatever you're paying for. So when you were first making fursuits, the prices were probably really cheap back then, but times have changed since then, and so has the cost of goods. So, I mean,
like, and that's why fursuits are more expensive now too, even on our end, like fabric and supplies in general are costing more. The cost of living, you know, your workspace, you have to pay rent for your workspace. It costs more. There's more information out there on how to make fursuits. So now the expectations of customers is a lot higher. 8 years ago, you know, lining your paws wasn't a thing. LEDs weren't really a popular thing. Puffy paws didn't exist. You know, serging your fabric wasn't really a thing. So fursuits back then were a lot cheaper because people didn't expect so much out of you. Mm-hmm. Now when people say a professional fursuit, they're expecting a lot more than when somebody said professional fursuit 8 to 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Professional fursuits 8 to 10 years ago made today would be considered good, but still amateur fursuits of today.
I almost wonder what the cost for a fursuit would be. Let's see, like materials would be 10 years ago as opposed to today.
Probably a handful of hundreds cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple hundred cheaper, most likely.
But that's life, though. I mean, and it's not, I'm not saying this like to scare you. It's just more or less, I want you to be aware of it. So yeah, that way you're not just like, that fursuit is trying to rip me off. Well, they might be, but there there could also be another reason to it. And that's probably cost and yeah, labor. And like you said, rent space, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And just, it's just a lot. Fursuit making costs a lot of money, and it's really time consuming. So it all depends on the maker and their situation, and you know, whether it's a business or a hobby that they're making money off of. But fur is one of the most expensive parts of making the fursuit. Fur and foam make up the bulk of the supply costs, the initial supply costs anyway. Foam, there are multiple different kinds of foam. You can get half-inch foam rolled up at Walmart. At my Walmart, it's usually about $16 to $17 for a roll of it, which is like usually about 2 yards. You can get it by the yard at Joann's. They have half-inch foam, one-inch foam, and like up to 3-inch upholstery foam that you can use. I only use half-inch and one-inch, and I stack my one-inch foam just because I feel it's easier to carve when I glue stack it. But I really suggest using half-inch foam for head bases for the initial bucket. That way your head isn't too big. You don't need a, you know, 1-inch thick foam wrapped around your head to make the base off of. It'll be really thick. And I know some fursuit makers do this even professionally, and their heads are a lot larger. But if it matches, you know, how the body suits are made, no harm done. But I do suggest using half-inch foam. It's just easier to work with, easier to bend and glue and all that stuff.
What about other fabrics that you might actually need for the fursuit making process?
There's a lot of misc fabrics. One of the most important ones I'd have to say is lycra, which is a what balaclavas are made out of. Mm-hmm. It is a sports fabric that is it's also what Under Armour tends to be made out of. It keeps you cool, and it keeps sweat, more sweat out of your fursuit. And it just makes things more comfortable because the backing of fur is really scratchy. And it's used to line the inside of heads and the inside of like sock paws and puffy hand paws. And it's usually also used to make padding for digitigrade suits, though you can also use light cotton fabric to make padding as well, just depending on your budget and, you know, what you are most comfortable with. Lycra, minky, which is a really soft kind of like a fur, but it's really, really short pile. It's what a lot of paw pads are made out of. You can also use fleece. I suggest anti-pill fleece. Polar fleece is garbage. I would never use it for anything, not even blankets. It's so bad. But anti-pill fleece is good. Luxury fleece is good. What's it called? Vinyl you can use. It's kind of like a pleather. People use that for paw pads and claws sometimes. Ew. I don't really like it. But I prefer soft things, so I never really use that. But other people do all the time.
I feel like pleather belongs in only one thing, and that is a vehicle. That's it. It should not be applied anywhere else. That's gross.
Oh, God. No, I mean, it's not bad. Most people don't use pleather. They use,
It's like faux leather.
It's like a faux, it's vinyl. It's kind of what like seats are made out of in diners.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really expensive.
Still,
though, it is so just expensive.
It doesn't need to be expensive either because it's so cheap. Like, it's so funny. The cheapest looking things are sometimes the most expensive. I don't get how that works. It just doesn't make sense. That makes no sense. Whatever. Whatever.
God. Those are the main misc fabrics that I use.
Fleece, miscellaneous, minky, by the way, if you guys didn't know.
Miscellaneous.
Yeah. I'm just like, they're going to be like, does she have like a speech impediment? Does she not?
I've heard other people use misc before.
I've never used it.
Really? Well, I guess people don't say et cetera as ect.
All right. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
What else would you need?
there's a lot of small tools involved. So like, you'd be surprised in how much these can add up. But if you're just starting out, the main things you need are an X-Acto knife, scissors, and needles. So an X-Acto knife is great for carving foam. It's also great for cutting fur. You don't want to cut fur with scissors because it will cut the pile of the fur itself and it'll look really choppy and gross. Some fursuit makers can use scissors, but they get right under the backing and just snip, snip, and it takes forever. I don't see how people
do that. Flip over the fur so that you have the backing facing up and then cut it that way?
Yep. Okay. Yep. You draw on the backing with like with chalk or markers, which is another small tool, which is what you draw with. On foam, you can use markers just fine to mark where you need. I try not to overkill with markers. Like, I see people coloring in the nose area and coloring the markings with their marker. Mm. I highly suggest you don't do that because eventually when you wash your suit, the marker might come out into your fur. Use as little marker as possible on your foam base if you can help it. And on your fur, I like to use chalk when I draw on the backing of my fur to cut it out. But sometimes you have to use marker. Like if it's a specific color or if it's like the backing is kind of spotty looking and just the chalk won't show up. But if you use marker, just make it where you mark a little bit bigger than what you want to cut out and cut right under your marker spot, so there's no marker left on the pattern that you're cutting out.
Something I think could also fall into, I guess, miscellaneous materials. This probably would fall into. The only thing I worry about when you said X-Acto knife is I picture, you know, young people doing this and they go to their dining room table and then they go to cut it and you cut right into the table.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
There's like fabric. It kind of looks like a chopping board, but it's actually like rubber, and
it's a rubber mat.
It's really easy. I mean, you could probably honestly just buy like a dinner mat, placemat, placemat. There you go. That would work.
It's interesting. Well, when you're making a suit, your fur is basically taking up your entire floor and there's no way you can get a mat big enough.
Right.
I suggest cutting your fur either on a carpeted floor, you know, or on a rug, a throwaway rug, or on a table with foam board laid down. You know that cheap foam board you can buy that kids put projects on?
Yes.
On my tables, I just duct tape like three of them together and I have it lining my desk. And they're thick enough, or cardboard, you know, whatever. But if you're in a room that, you know, has a carpeted floor, I don't know if it damages it over time because fur fabric is so thick. Usually when you're cutting through the backing, it doesn't hit the carpet too bad. But if you're on a table, it will definitely scratch your table.
The only problem I would have, like, I mean, obviously, if you're going to cut on the floor, is that you know, when you go to cut, it makes the fur kind of like, everything kind of like gets pulled down, so you might miss a cut. Mm-hmm. There's another type of X-Acto. Well, it's not an X-Acto knife, but it basically looks like a really tiny pizza cutter. Do you know what I'm
that
talking about?
That doesn't work for fur, does unfortunately. It, really?
Oh, it's a bummer.
It doesn't, yeah. Fur is too thick.
Well, that sucks. Well,
yeah.
There is something I did buy, though, and I would recommend it. If you are more... I work really well with my hands, but I work really close up. So I actually got an X-Acto knife that fits. It's like an upside down wedding ring. And you slip it on and then you can actually swivel around and make the cuts that you need to with no issues at all. It's like the dream of like an X-Acto knife. You can make all the like little cuts and adjustments. It's so cool. I love it.
So another super important, just little tool, and literally it's one of the smallest things you'll work with, is a needle. But it's one of the most important things, needle and thread. Like, I feel like that's something people skip out on a lot, but it literally is what's holding your fursuit together.
Not a dirty needle. Not one of those.
Ew, no.
Don't
nasty.
Share your needles, but you can share these needles. I need a needle. I don't know where I was going down that. Anyways, continuing.
You're going to want to use a needle that's so
weird.
That's hefty. a thick boy.
Hefty.
No.
A thick boy.
You're going to need a thicker needle. Nothing extreme, but something that can, you know, if you pull on it, it's not going to break in half. You know, because sometimes you get those cheap packs of needles and it comes with like 20 of them. And most of them, these really thin, flimsy needles with tiny eyes. And it's just terrible. I hate them. You're going to want to.
They're not so big that like it pokes through the fabric and then it leaves a hole either.
Yeah, they're not that big. They're just, they're thick enough to handle the backing of the fur. And you can use them for like fleece and stuff too. I just don't like using those cheap thin needles. They just get lost all the time and they break and it's just a pain. Usually you can find them in packs of like four, and they come in usually two different sizes, like medium and long. So if they come in a smaller pack and they're thicker, usually that's your sign that they're good to use for fursuit making. And for hand sewing anything, I highly suggest upholstery thread. A normal thread just isn't strong enough if you're sewing with it and you make your knot and you're tying through all the fabric and you pull. When you pull the stitch tight and your thread breaks, you're using all-purpose thread. It's going to break. It's not going to hold up very well. The only way your suit will hold up with normal thread is if you stitch it like three times, and that would take forever. Just buy upholstery thread and, you know, Google a few stitches on YouTube and you'll be good to go.
Whatever you do, do not Google thick boy.
No.
And my filter's, my filter's off, so it shows me everything.
Of course.
There's a bunch
is.
Of huskies, but then there's like one picture where it's like, I didn't need to see that.
A bear, but the gay kind.
All right. Jeez Louise.
Something I had a lot of questions about when I first started making suits that no one ever seemed to want to answer. I just had to learn through trial and error is different kinds of adhesives. Whenever I see this question a lot when people make fursuits, and they always ask, what kind of glue do I use to attach the fur? And it's simply, it's hot glue. Just use hot glue. Even if your fursuit has a fleece face, or if you're using fleece, like if it's a reptile or something, hot glue is perfect. It's not too thick to where you'll feel it through the fabric. It dries quick enough to where you can work with it, but it also dries slow enough for you to not have to rush, essentially. So when you're making your foam base heads, anything with foam, when you're gluing fur down onto anything, hot glue is your best friend. I suggest getting a glue gun that's a bit larger, that uses the larger glue sticks. They just last longer. You don't have to fill them up as often. And usually they have a high temp and a low temp. So if you're gluing fur down, you'll use high temperature glue. If you're gluing foam together, usually low temp is a bit better, so you don't have to hold it down for as long. Spray adhesive is something a lot of people, especially amateur fursuit makers, have used to put fur onto their fursuit heads. And it's terrible. You don't ever want to use spray adhesive. It doesn't really stick that well. And it also bleeds through your fur and eats away at it over time. It leaves a really nasty residue. And it's just bad for your lungs, man. Don't use spray adhesive for anything regarding fursuit making.
Doesn't it, behave really bad when it heats up? So, like, if it gets really hot outside, doesn't it just, like, fall off, like, sticky?
You know, I think some do, yeah.
That's the last thing you're, like, you're fursuiting and, like, half of your fursuit just starts to, like, slide off your face.
Gross. Oh, I hate that visual.
I don't.
Oh, spray adhesives are a big no-no, in my opinion. I don't know any professional fursuit makers that use it on anything. Hot glue is your best friend. There are different types of super glues you'll need as well, because hot glue doesn't work on everything. It's essentially like a rubber. So if you use hot glue on something like Sculpey, any kind of clay thing, anything that's really smooth, hot glue will just peel right off, and you'll have to use a super glue instead. Also, the bottoms of outdoor fursuit feet, usually it's a thin rubber. You have to glue that down with a super glue. You cannot use hot glue. It doesn't work. It peels right off. I personally use E6000. It's a really hard industrial glue. It takes a couple of hours to set. So that's the downside of it, is that it doesn't dry instantaneously. But when it does dry, it's really strong. You can also use Loctite for smaller things like claws if you want. It dries pretty immediately and it's really tacky, but you have to use gloves.
I recommend a super glue gel. It's a little bit, it's a lot easier to work with. It's a little bit more pliable. It doesn't dry as quickly, which is really nice. Or Gorilla Glue. That also works too.
I've never used Gorilla Glue on a fursuit, usually because it expands.
Does it?
I think some. All the, I think I've used Gorilla Glue once and it expanded. And I didn't like that.
Don't use double stick tape. Don't use duct tape.
Well, don't, actually, yeah, don't attach things with tape. Oh my gosh.
Duct tape, but that's a, you would use that for other reasons.
For yeah. Patterning.
Which is what I did.
Well, I think some people in the past have gotten confused about the whole patterning process, and they think you're supposed to glue over the duct tape. One of my friends got a refurb commission from someone who made their own fursuit head, and when they got it and took the fur off, there was tape holding it together underneath instead of hot glue.
God.
Like, they taped it a lot of places together, and like, that's really bad. Don't do that. Like, it's not gonna hold, and also the fumes of the duct tape over time, it's just bad stem time, yo.
Just
don't
do that. It's not worth it.
Don't use duct tape on the end product of your suit. It shouldn't be.
When I was following your tutorial and I was making the fursuit feet paws, I mean, yeah, I duct taped onto the shoe so I could work with the material. But when it was time to put the actual material on the shoe, I removed the duct tape. Because I use the duct tape as a pattern, yes. Basically, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's how you make
patterns. Pretty sweet.
That can go into our MISC materials. Duct tape and masking tape are both really great kinds of tapes you can use to pattern a suit. If you're confused as to what patterning is, it's basically after you make a 3D product, you need to figure out how much fur to use and what shapes to use. And it has to be the exact shape of, you know, the fursuit head or the hands or anything like that in order for it to look right. I used to just drape fur over the head and cut it where I thought it needed it because, you know, again, back then there weren't tutorials. I didn't know how to pattern something. But you use tape. I use duct tape personally. Masking tape just, it peels weird. I don't like it. It just kind of breaks off for me, but I know some fursuit makers swear by it. So you could try both, figure out which one you like better. I know masking tape is cheaper, so that might work better for you. Do not use packing tape. It's clear. Even if you get the brown kind, it's you can't draw on it. You can't write on it with Sharpie to figure out fur direction or anything. It rubs off. Fursuits need either duct tape or
packing tape in general just sucks overall. Like, even packing with a box,
yeah,
packing tape always like comes off super easily. I don't see the point for it at this time. Like, just if you have packing tape, just throw it away.
I hate packing tape. If I'm shipping out something, I prefer getting that packing tape that has like the fabric in it.
That's a good kind.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind you usually have to use.
Thick tape.
I wish they'd let you use duct tape, but duct tape doesn't really stick to boxes very well for some odd reason, and they also won't let you ship something with duct tape
because
on
they
it
think
for
it's
some
a bomb.
Reason. Right? Makes sense.
So, anyways, moving on.
Some other MISC materials are things like foamies, or fun foam, which are these really, they can be different thicknesses, but it's basically this like squishy kind of foam material you get in the crafty section at like Hobby Lobby or whatever. And a lot of people use it for eyes because it's cheap and easy to cut. I don't like it for eyes because it scratches super easily. Like, you can run your nail across it and there's a big scratch there permanently. But a lot of people will use that for eyes. A lot of people use it for ears. I use the thick kind of foamies to make the base for my ears because it's thick enough to hold itself up, but thin enough for the ears to be flexible and floppy and easy to work with. You can use plastic sheets for eyes. You can buy plastic sheets from Tap Plastics online.
Holy sheets!
I think there's some... Oh my god. I was confused for a second. I was like, what, you stuck your toe or something?
No, I was just making fun of
you. You can get it on Etsy. I actually use trash cans.
What?
People are like, where do you get your white plastic for your eyes? I get the you know, $1.50 white trash cans from Walmart that are really thin and, you know, crappy. And I use those because they kind of have a natural curve to them. So they fit the shapes of my phone base heads better. So I don't buy sheets of plastic.
I am just trash cans. So when I get my first suit, I will literally be wearing trash.
Yes. All of my fursuits have trash can that eyes. People have used trash cans. People have used plastic bowls from the dollar store. I also like trash cans because they have a matte finish on one side. And I don't like shiny eyes.
That's a bad idea. Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, trash cans. It's trash a good suits. Tool.
It's the new thing. And then when you have all the materials, then you need a machine, right?
Not always. A sewing machine can make things, you know, sturdier, or it can make things go by quicker. If you're making a full suit, I really recommend a sewing machine if you can afford it, just because it'll take forever to hand sew a body. But you can do it. I exclusively hand sew all the fur that goes on the heads of my suits because I have more control. I actually pin the fur to the head, like backing side out, and hand sew it so I know the markings are lined up properly and I know everything is fitting snug. So you don't necessarily need a sewing machine. You also don't need like a serging machine. I don't use that, or an embroidery machine. You don't. What else is there? Airbrush machines. If you're just starting off and these things don't apply to what you're doing, then you don't need them. Airbrush machines can come in handy if you're aiming to do realistic stuff later, but you can always start out with dry brushing. I dry brush a lot on my suits. You're basically using an acrylic-based paint and using a rough paintbrush or a toothbrush and lightly coloring the fur with that and brushing it out so it's smooth again. There are tutorials for dry brushing on YouTube, I know, so those are available if you need to do an airbrushing effect, but you do not have an airbrush. And another machine I use, that I suggest getting this if you can, if you're working with fur that is over an inch thick, it's a turkey knife. Those electric knives that you buy at, like, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond or Walmart or whatever. Yeah, a turkey knife, the electric ones with the little trigger. I use that to cut my thick foam.
Oh my god. It's genius though.
Because I mean, and a lot of people do. Like, because I can't think of anything else you would use besides, you know, an X-Acto knife with the blade pushed all the way out. And then that's just a waste of a good blade because you're doling it out so quickly just to make, you know, a few cuts. So I use an electric turkey knife for thick foam. If you're working with 1-inch foam, you can cut that with scissors easily. Like the rolled 1-inch foam from like Joann's or Walmart, you can use scissors to cut that. Or an X-Acto knife, either way. But if you're working with anything over an inch thick, then you need to use a turkey knife. I can't think of anything else you would use. I think most fursuit makers use those to cut thick foam. But and they're only like $10, $15 as well, so that's the cheapest machine you can buy that could be helpful to you. I know some people use higher density foam. It's usually a black foam. It's usually black or white, and it's even if you get 1 inch, it's just so thick that sometimes an X-Acto knife just doesn't do it. Since I'm a type 1 diabetic, I get insulin mailed to me and it has to be insulated and it has high density, like this expensive foam. And I get some sheets for free every now and then when I get insulin shipped to me. So like I have to use a turkey knife for that because it's so thick. I only use it for muzzles. But if you're using just standard upholstery foam and not high density foam, then you don't need an electric knife of any kind.
All right. So once you have all of your materials, then the fun part starts. Building.
Yes. And so many people I know get so intimidated and just take forever to start. But you gotta just do it.
Just gotta do it.
Just gotta do it. A lot of people start with the head because it's like the most exciting part, and that makes sense. I always suggest starting with the head just because it's the scariest part. You're gonna want to dive in. So there are so many different types of fursuit heads and head bases. The most popular ones are foam and resin. Foam heads can either be hand carved, like how we've been discussing with the you know, the X-Acto knives and the types of foam and all that stuff. But they can also be made out of expanding foam, which is usually, it's cast in a similar way as resin, except it's lightweight and you have to like hollow it out. It's really squishy, kind of like a Tempur-Pedic bed kind of feel. They're interesting to use. They're not my favorite, but I'll use them if I have to. And then there's also 3D printed heads. Those are a newer addition to the furry community. They're a little bit more rare. There is one specific fursuit business that has like hundreds of different kinds of fursuit species that you can order a 3D printed head base from, and they're pretty affordable too, usually around $100 for a head base. I forget the name of them. It's on the tip of my tongue and I can't spit it out, but if you Google 3D printed fursuit head bases, they're probably going to be the first thing that pops up.
Is it the actual base or is it for the pattern for you to print out?
It's the actual base.
Oh, that's cool. I wonder if you could buy the pattern.
You might be able to.
Like at a lower cost of like maybe like $75 for the pattern. Kind of cool.
That would be cool. And then of course, resin heads, which are the, you know, harder counterpart of like 3D printing and whatnot. They tend to be heavier, but you can get a lot of detail into them for like realistic suits, for example. Once you have a head base, you can buy one if you're a little bit intimidated. There's no shame in buying a head base if you have to. I recently bought a head base for a personal project that I did like a year ago, just because I didn't have the time to make my own. So no shame if you want to buy one. You'll be supporting another artist if you do. But if you want to make your own, there's tons of tutorials that we discussed earlier. And
also, one thing we didn't say before, like if you just can't get a head base altogether, go to your local salon and buy one of those foam heads. Just build off of that. I've seen a lot of people do it.
Oh, you're talking about like the mannequin head to start with?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking like an actual, like they actually make the head and then you build on top of that? Like it's already made?
I was talking about like the fursuit head base, like the foam base of the costume.
Oh, okay.
Not the head that you build on. But those are really, that would fall in missed supplies, actually. You can get the wig stands that are styrofoam if you need to. If you're only making a fursuit for yourself, you can just use your own head and just take it on and off. But it's easier if you have something to work on. You can just get those cheap styrofoam heads if you want to. But if you're planning on making multiple, I suggest getting a Monster Makers Ed head. They have like shoulders added on and they're a realistic, you know, size. So it's really easy to work with. Usually after you finish the head, which is the hardest part of making a fursuit, I suggest cooling down and making the easiest part, which is the tail. Unless you have an outlandish design, like a really long tail with like feathers and spikes and it tends to be the easiest part of the suit. It's just, you can make them foam based or you can do polyfill. There's tons of different ways to do them. I suggest polyfill. It's just easier that way. Lightweight, whatnot. Yeah, tails are so basic. I don't have much to say about tails. Hands and feet tend to be pretty hard as well. Just like how drawing hands is hard, sewing hands is hard too. You can, if you're making like puffy paws, you typically need to make a foam base first and then pattern it from there. Or you can actually buy patterns.
Aren't mine going to be puffy paws?
Yeah, yours are going to be puffy paws.
Yeah, the puffy paws.
Puffy like paws are my favorite. There are puffy paws. There are standard four-fingered paws, which are basically puffy paws that aren't puffy. And then there are five-fingered hand paws, which are basically like human hands with paw pads on them. I don't see those a lot anymore.
Neither do I.
No. I think it's because they look really weird with full suits. It's like they're so small, you end up with like baby Trump hands with a big old dog costume.
Baby Trump hands.
Yes. Baby Trump
sad
hands. But those are the easiest to make because you just kind of trace the shape of a normal hand out. You don't need a complicated pattern for it. But the more fingers, the harder they are to sew. So I prefer doing four-fingered puffy paws. You have a little more room for error because they're so big that, you know, it's harder to make them too tight, which is a big problem with a lot of paws. You have to be careful about making them too tight. I prefer hand sewing all of my hand paws because of that, just to make sure they're not too small. And putting hands through a sewing machine can be difficult with all the different like nooks and crannies that they have. And feet paws, they're basically like, I don't know, two or three different types. There's outdoor, which is the rubber bottom feet. Indoor, which have the paw pads. And then sock paws, which tend to be like, they're indoor feet, but they're not built on slippers or anything. It's basically just a tube of polyfill that you stick your foot in, which are really fun. Those are the most popular kinds of feet paws I think are out there. They're a little bit harder to walk in, but they're the cutest looking, and I think people really value aesthetics over functionality when it comes to feet paws, because all y'all are nasty. And the last part,
body.
The body. A lot of people don't make full suits as their first suit, which I respect that, because it's hard. But if you do eventually make a full suit, it's way easier to make a plantigrade suit. But I know Digigrade is really popular, just because it makes, you know, the suit more shapely. A lot of people really dig that. So Digigrade is harder. If you're not used to wearing a fursuit, they can be hotter and harder to move in. You won't have as much movement. If you're wanting to be a fursuit dancer, your movements won't be as visible. You'll have to try harder in order for your dances to show through. Stuff like that. I suggest trying a plantigrade suit first and then upgrading to Digigrade if you can afford making both. But if it comes down to it, pick the one that you will like the most, no matter if it's harder or easier to make, because in the end, you're going to want to make what you want to make. But Digigrade is a bit harder. It's more work, but it looks really cool.
It is cool looking, but I wouldn't want one. It just wouldn't work. I'm so tall as it is.
Yeah, and a lot of like taller and thicker people pull off, and this is my opinion, this might piss off some people, but I think taller people and thicker people look better in plantigrade suits. Like, there's just more there. You don't look like, you know, a bobblehead.
I don't take offense to it. I mean, yeah, it just looks more natural, I guess you could say.
Like, if you fill out better, if you know what I mean. Like, if you're a really thin string bean kind of person with a plantigrade suit and you got a big ass fursuit hat on, like, you're gonna look like a bobblehead just walking around. Like, I always find it really funny. If you're a thinner person, I suggest adding some thick with some Digigrade if you can. Or have a smaller fursuit head. Pick a fursuit maker that, you know, specializes in smaller heads.
If you're a thick boy like me, you don't need more stuff on top of you.
Valid.
Like, just because, you know, you got to think of not just the weight, but the temperature. Like, oh my God, I would burn up in a full suit, not to mention additional things that I just, yeah. Yeah.
I find full suits, they're hotter, but for me, they're more comfortable because with a partial, I feel like I'm always pulling and tugging and making sure none of my skin is showing. Whereas a full suit, I just slap that bitch on and I'm like good to go. I don't have to pull at my clothes or mess with a belt or anything like that. I just made a lot of stupid mistakes as a young person. And so I just have some advice for young people or new people starting to make fursuits. So one is learning how to photograph your work. Photographing is a skill within itself. You can make a really good suit, but if you don't know how to photograph it, then it can look really bad. Like, if you have a pretty decent looking suit, but it's in bad lighting, or if you're taking pictures of it at a gross angle, then it can make your suit look worse than it actually is. Vice versa, some fursuit makers can take pictures of a suit that isn't that great and make it look decent just by lighting, editing, angles. So learning how to photograph is really important. I didn't know how to photograph crap for years, and I still see professional fursuit makers taking pictures of their suits in like crap lighting with a cheap backdrop, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're a professional. Like, learn, you know, how better. To go outside. Like, bruh.
You know more.
You should know better. God. Also, learning where and when to share your work if you want it to be seen. The most popular places for fursuit makers is definitely Twitter. Furaffinity is still active. DeviantArt, not so much. I know a lot of younger people are on DeviantArt, though. And surprisingly enough, TikTok has a lot of fursuit makers on there, and it can really spread your work around. But since TikTok has a lot of children on there, you might get a lot of, you know, annoying comments like, can you make this for free, or can you sell this for cheaper, or whatever. You just gotta take TikTok with a grain of salt. Same with DeviantArt. But Twitter and Fur Affinity are other great options that are more adult oriented, where you'll get a wider audience. Never stop improving and never get too comfortable. Always look to try new things. And that also ties into staying humble. I know this is for newer fursuit makers, but you will improve, and most likely you'll improve quickly because there are just so many, there are so many things you can utilize now. You have so many tutorials at your fingertips. You have so many people around that can help you. You will get good, but remember to stay humble. Never bully new fursuit makers when you yourself get better. If you can answer people's questions, do so. Don't feel like you have a secret formula to make your fursuits with. All fursuits are pretty much, it's like Taco Bell. It's the same ingredients put together differently. God. Like, you know,
it's true, though.
Fursuit making is Taco Bell. Like, don't feel like you got a secret formula you have to keep to yourself, because artists should support artists, in my opinion. And if you get on your high horse and like, no, I'm not going to answer your questions. I understand not answering questions if you don't have time or if you're overwhelmed, but just remember to stay humble as you grow as an artist.
Something I want to add to that I've noticed with this younger generation that's coming in, a lot of things are, you know, kind of handed to you. Not everyone's like this, but I've seen enough to kind of make a judgment here. It's easy to do something and then fail, and you might fail a lot, but the important thing is that you pick yourself back up and you continue to move forward and not just stop it there and then never go back. Hard work pays off. If you're determined, you want to do it. You really have to set your mind to it. It's literally as stupid as it sounds. Just keep going forward. You know, what is the word? I cannot think of the phrase. Persevere. The other thing too, is I want to stress, is to take your time. Don't force it.
Oh yeah.
Not just within fursuit making. I've done this a couple of times. Actually multiple times starting my new job. You get like comfortable, but you start to rush. When you start to rush, you forget certain things and you make mistakes, and those mistakes end up being really big. And then you go back thinking, oh my God, how do I fix this? And you really don't remember, or it's too much. And then you kind of just hit a wall. So take your time, go slow. It sounds boring, but if you're new at this, I highly recommend it, because you're going to be able to maybe fix the mistake that you made, but you'll also learn in the process as well. You can go fast too. It's trial by fire. By all means, go for it. I mean, I kind of like that kind of teaching style almost, but I wouldn't really recommend it with so much at stake, which is, you know, the materials, the time being put into it, all of this stuff. It's really easy to fail, but I want you to know that failing is good, because you can't build if you don't fail. Because everything is basically built off of a failure, if you think about it.
It is.
So that's really important, just to kind of keep that in mind. So I just wanted to just put that out there for you guys.
That reminds me of a really cheesy quote I had pasted on my Fur Affinity for 8 years straight. And it was, the master has failed more times than the beginner has even tried.
Yep.
Definitely. And definitely with taking your time, that's something you super duper want to do. Like, I'm so glad you brought that up. I can't believe I forgot. If you rush, it's so expensive to fix a mistake or fursuit making. It's not like drawing. You can't just hit Control Z and nothing was really lost financially. Like, if you mess up, you have to pay more money for fur, for foam, stuff like that. It's easier to prevent a mistake than it is to fix one. So go slow. There's no rush.
Work on your sewing skills.
Take your
time.
That's
a good one.
Yeah. I know you can start making tails and ears first, smaller things. If you still want to make furry based stuff or even plushies, you can make some
pretty
the baby
tails. They're like little keychains. Those start with those.
Oh yeah.
It's small. It's simple. It's easy to make. And then once you have that, maybe make a little bit larger tail and kind of just slowly go from there. Slow and easy wins the race. Isn't that what it is, isn't it?
That's not how that goes, but okay.
Yeah, the turtle. He's slow. Slow, oh, sorry. And slow and steady wins the race. Whatever. It's the same. Close enough. That's all that matters.
You're close. If you end up, you know, listening to this and you're inspired or it helped make your own suit, email us and show us your fursuits. Like, if you've been making fursuits for a while, you can send us pictures of your older suits versus the suits you've made recently. Like, I love finding new fursuit makers. I love following all kinds of fursuit makers. And sometimes it's hard to find them because you can get buried in all of, you know, the Twitter posts just going on and on and on. So if you make suits, whether you're new, whether it's your first suit, whether it's your 50th suit, I want to see it. I'm sure Space wants to see it too. You should email us and show us. Maybe we'll feature you in one of our next shows. So I look forward to seeing everybody's emails and some pictures of fursuits. Y'all better send some. I want to see some cute fursuits real bad.
Even if it's like one of those like beginner ones where you're just like, this doesn't look good. So just send it to us anyways. Yeah. But still.
I'm sure they'll all look great.
But still, y'all know what I mean.
You're like, but still, you know what I mean. I'll, hey, well, maybe I should.
Oh my God.
I'll share with y'all some of my first ones. They're really funny looking. All right. But that is our show for today. I really hope y'all enjoyed it. It was really fun for me. I'm sorry if I rambled. It's my livelihood at the moment.
But hey, we thank for all you guys listening in. And like we always mention at the end of all of our podcasts is that, or episode, is that if you have questions or you just want to write your thanks or appreciation, anything, just email us at talktothemuzzle@gmail.com. We really, really emphasize that because I really want to hear from you. I'm slowly seeing people trickle in, but I really want to hear from you. Even if it's from Twitter or if it's from Facebook or Telegram, just let us know. But other than that, you guys are great. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.